It's TNR. TNR 95, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Five, a Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is filling in for Fred this morning. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Simulcast on NBCSN. Let's go to Joe real quick. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I have been to Costa Rica a few times, and nice. I bought Coke. It was so good. I had to flush it down the toilet.
Okay, so hang on. You went down there, and how tough was it to... So you, unlike Daron Harmon, who smoked marijuana, your drug of choice was cocaine.
Oh, yeah, I don't smoke weed.
Okay. So
how, it's for amateurs.
How tough was it to find coke when you went to Costa Rica?
It wasn't that hard. It was... I was at a prostitution, maybe, place...
But, yeah, so what's that? There's a city down there that's essentially known for
the prostitution maybe place. Yeah.
It's the prostitution because I've gone to Costa Rica before, and there's a town there that is what's the name of the city you went to?
So I was in San Jose, but
that's not
I'm
the one.
Telling you, it wasn't that very hard. It was easy.
Okay, all right, and so you flushed it down the toilet before you got to the airport.
Yeah, dude. Did I already tell you that? It was unbelievable.
Dumbass.
I had so much. I had to flush it down the toilet.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it wouldn't have taken Daron Harmon a very hard time to find pot.
See, that's the part. I'm not a pot smoker, but the coke was so easy to find.
Okay. Appreciate that, Joe.
Take the implication there.
Yeah, I think he's just eager to share that story with someone.
Just Joe the Cokehead, anytime you want to call in,
Joe
in
the Cokehead.
6 o'clock hour, I'm cool with that.
So here's the deal. Please, we need callers at night. Anybody, please help me. Anybody defending Daron Harmon? That guy figured it out. Like that, right. Like that guy pieced it together, Joe, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I'll score some coke when I get into Costa Rica. I'll go down to the prostitution, maybe kind of sort of place,
That's right. And
I'll get all my fixes." Daron Harmon couldn't figure it out, and that guy could. Yeah. That's kind of the problem.
I'm just wondering if Joe the Cokehead's been asleep yet, what he has been taking care of. One thing about Costa Rica, he's right. I mean, there's like, and it's kind of depressing. There's a, Costa Rica's beautiful. There's parts of it. You know, in the the Upper West that are gorgeous, and then the Manuel Antonio down at the
big
south part.
Expat communication there, right? Community there, right? From the States, aren't there a lot of people who live there?
A ton of people do, and it's like huge. Like if you're into surfing, it's apparently surfer's paradise. And then there's people who go up to like Nicaragua and stuff like that. But there is kind of a weird dark side to it, and that there's prostitution is. I don't even know if it's legal, but I think it's a kind of thing where you look
the
other way in certain parts of it. Anywhere where the tourists go, that's not what they're talking about. But there is like this one town that's kind of like where all the bad things happen. That is, and I forget the name of it, but it's known for that. And this guy apparently is.
He's frequented.
Infrequented himself there. They go down there and there's drugs and there's prostitution and it's everywhere and it's mildly depressing. Although Joe the Cokehead is a guy that is just firing on all cylinders this morning. Let's go to James. James, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Yes, where did you get Joe the Cokehead?
he came to us. We attract a certain type of listener.
Yeah, magic.
Did you get his number?
You know what? He'll call back.
Should've.
He's up now. He's going to be up for the next 40 hours, I'm sure.
Oh, my freaking God.
So what's up, James?
Daron? What happened to Daron?
Yeah, I mean, he was dumb. He was dumb. The guy packed like a ton of marijuana and shoved it in an Arizona tea bottle and tried to go to Costa Rica. They busted him. They wouldn't let him in the country. And now he's going to have to, unfortunately, he's probably going to get some sort of suspension and he's going to be on the NFL's drug program. And it's dumb.
Save a little money?
Yeah, apparently. Or he just didn't want to have to do the work when he got down there. I'm not sure what it was, but he was ready for a big week. I mean, a big, big week.
I think he's been hanging out with Malcolm Butler. I think that's what's happening.
Malcolm Butler? What do you know about Malcolm Butler? I don't think he's been known for smoking pot.
No, but he's been known to mess up a little bit.
No, I don't really know what the story with that is, but I appreciate it, James.
We're going back to the dark web rumors about Malcolm Butler around the Super Bowl.
Was there a pot thing? I never heard that rumor.
There were
smoking pot during the Super Bowl.
That's a rumor.
I don't know how reputable these rumors were, but they were kicked around. He was caught smoking weed during the week, which is part of why he came out in, I forget, his Instagram post, whatever
it was. Right.
And he said, he just referenced, malicious rumors or whatever they were, and they're unsubstantiated. They haven't been confirmed. Belichick's talked about it now, and so I don't know if he did or if he didn't, but there hasn't been much credible reports about that.
Billy, what do you got on Harmon? What's the deal?
I think the reason he brought his own pot with him, it was part of the TB12 method. It was laced with the avocado juice and all that stuff, so it was the healthy stuff he was bringing in.
Listen, you got to get that in with Tom Brady. It's the Tom Brady-endorsed weed. I don't know if you knew this, but there's a bunch of celebrities who are starting to endorse different strands of pot. It's brilliant.
Would you rule it out with Brady now?
With the weed?
Yeah. It's marketing everything under the sun. Yeah, a little Brady weed.
Ingestibles? I bet. Do you think Tom's ever done that?
I don't know.
No.
No. His body's a temple.
But it's like all natural.
But I was
going to
say, it's from the earth.
Yeah,
it's from the earth, man.
I don't know. Okay, hang on. Peter. Now we've gone off the rails. Peter, so you know why he was bringing weed to Costa Rica?
Yeah, I think he was bringing pot to Costa Rica because when you buy it down there, it's junk. And with today's medical marijuana and today's quality bringing with them, why would you?
You want the good stuff. You want to get the good stuff. You're saying that, you get a medical card.
Hey, it's like Costa Rican swag.
I guess so. Maybe just why you didn't want, some of the skunk weed. I don't know if Costa Rica is known for skunk weed. I have no idea. All I know is that he brought a lot of whatever he was cooking with. But so Malcolm Butler, that whole, I'll never not be fascinated by the story. Never. Sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. I'm wildly surprised it's taken this long. The lips have been tightened. There's been no leaks anywhere. I thought somebody like Ian Rappaport, several days after it was done, one day was going to send out a tweet and everyone's heads were going to explode. We have not heard that yet. All we're hearing is that, we didn't think he was fit the schemes, and Malcolm Butler's being a good soldier, even though I thought that possibly when he signed somewhere else, he would start running his mouth.
Yeah.
But he's actually playing everything the way you should.
I thought that's when the leak would happen. Once he officially signed somewhere else, I thought that's when we get the leak, and nothing.
But he is not. And now I knew this was going to happen. Now Bill Belichick, what's going to happen every time he's asked about it? I'm not going to talk about last year. I mean, it's your chance to get any info out of Bill Belichick is done and over with, but somebody tried. He was at the owners' meetings yesterday, and he spoke to the press.
I have a lot of respect for Malcolm from the day he got here in rookie minicamp 4 years ago. He's always competed as hard as he could. He always is a great competitor on the field, and I totally respect that. I'm not going to get into last year. I'm not going to get into next year or some other year. I talked to Malcolm. I wish him well at Tennessee. Obviously, Mike and John are great people I have a lot of respect for in that organization. I have a lot of respect for Malcolm, and, we wish him well.
All right, Eric. Eric, what do you got? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing, fellas?
Hey, good.
Good. So basically, as far as the Harmon situation, I think that, because the weed, I know, for example, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, things of that sort, the weed wasn't that good. So I could see him trying to bring down a higher strand. But I think it was ridiculous. I think that he should have just went down there and tried to find himself on the street.
Eric, do you smoke weed?
Yes.
Okay. So have you ever tried to travel with weed? Not in a car. Have you ever tried to fly anywhere with weed?
No.
Okay. It's the dumbest thing ever, right?
It's stupid.
Yeah, okay. They're going to find you. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if there's a trick to getting around it. If anyone's ever flown with weed before, I'd like to know if there's any kind of foolproof trick that...
I think he tried to do it. I mean, I think he tried with his little Arizona iced tea. Don't they have the false containers and stuff that you can put in the bottom of
Is it the tin that they don't think that the scanners will be able to
see
through?
I'm just going to say, you have an X-ray machine you have to go through.
Here's,
how do they not see it
the
there?
It's so funny. I was in a band for years. I was around people who smoked it all the time. I never smoked weed. I didn't do it because I was always afraid that I was going to get tested at my job and I was going to lose my job and I wasn't going to be able to pay for all the things I wanted to do. I always freaked out about it. But I did know this, hanging around like potheads, is that there were certain ways that you could cover up anyone knowing that you had it. One of the most genius ones was when I was in college. If everyone was smoking in a room, they would take one of those cans of Nest Tea. Remember the ones that was just the powder?
Yeah.
And you'd shake it up, and you'd open up the top, and it would completely kill the smell. Like, it's the only thing I've ever known that completely destroys the smell of pot for, all like, a good 10, 15 minutes. So if, like, an RA or something was coming by, and you didn't want to get they're not going to smell. They're just going to smell the sweet smell of Nest Tea floating throughout the air.
We're just making some Nest Tea in here. Just making let's mix it up a new batch.
Oh, my God. Our listeners are full phone lines. This is like a road I didn't know we're going to go down, let's do it.
Can I just, guys, answer the last caller?
Yeah.
I don't expect Ron Harmon to be on the street. Did he not go down there with any buddies? Which also begs another question. Could you put that in your buddy's bag, not your own?
You got to have a fall guy.
That's right. It's not that hard.
Yeah. We got to get Chris Carter.
Chris Carter knows.
Fall guy. I mean, this is great. We have Joe Haggerty up, but I got to keep all these guys online. Everyone's got these weed tricks about how you can, these people are all saying they've flown with weed before, and I need to know like whether this is something that can actually happen or if Daron Harmon's. Like, what did Daron Harmon do wrong? Like, was there some sort of sense in what he was trying to do, but he just missed, like, one step? I'm not sure.
Right, there's, like, a key step that he just he screwed up. Like,
you gotta wrap it in tinfoil, man.
Yeah, you need
forgot
more,
that.
More Nest Tea. Where was the Nest Tea, man?
Sure. All right. 617-779-0985. Our listeners are the best. We'll get to Joe Haggerty and the Bruins, who just continue to find ways to win. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone. On the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now Krug will start to walk it ahead. Watched by a couple of Wild players. Slowly, he'll bank it on left wing for Marchand. Has a step on Dumba, left circle, shoots, he scores! He's magic in overtime. Brad Marchand with a laser, low, just inside the far post. That's your game winner. 2-1 Bruins in overtime over the Wild.
Nine and five is Sports Hub. It's Touch and Rich. I even said that earlier. Surratt even sounds shocked at how quickly all that happened. But Marchand does it again. It's Touch and Rich, by the way, and we have Adam Jones in here real quick. And we're going to, we're all of you on hold, we're going to get to you. And Joe Haggerty, we're about to speak with. But I do want to say that Bird is a treasure. I'm looking at some of the calls in here, and one of the things I'm looking at on hold, it says, Rich, I know how to get weed on a plane. And how does he spell plane? P-L-A-I-N. And it's not just a mistake, because that's written several times on a couple of the calls, the word plane.
Yeah. Like the Great Plains.
Yes. Yeah. Bird obviously had not had his coffee this morning. I'm sure he knows how to spell plane.
How is this possible?
Listen, as I said, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Bobby's not had his coffee.
All right. That's
but
fine.
But it is, he's an interesting human being with the word plane. P-L-A-N-E. We'll get to all of that in your calls. Stay on hold, because we have some good ones. All right. Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston. He has brought weed on a plane before.
goes with the necklace.
I'm assuming,
yeah.
Just right from the neckwear. Joe, good morning. How about them Bruins, huh?
Good morning. What's happening, Rich? How you doing?
Good. Okay, so we talked to you last week, and they just continue to solidify the point that this team just finds a way to win. And with Brad Marchand, okay, do you think that he would be in the conversation for the Hart Trophy if he hadn't missed that time from suspensions and being injured?
Yeah, I definitely do think he would be. You know, the problem is he gets suspended every year, so you can't say, you know, would he be considered if he wasn't suspended, because he gets suspended every season. So
right.
This is like an annual occurrence, and he's going to miss time with that. And, you know, I think some writers and some voters will hold it against him when he acts that way and say, we don't want our MVP, we don't want our Hart Trophy winner, you know, to represent a guy that goes out and, you know, does things to get suspended for five games. But the numbers, the way he plays, the clutch ability to win games in overtime, and not just tonight, the other night too, where he just decides, you know, that the Bruins aren't going to lose. And he helps engineer a third period comeback where he's an instrumental factor in every single one of the goals. You know, he does that, the timely part of it, and the part where he throws the team on his shoulders. He does all that in addition to having the gaudy numbers, to being, you know, one of the top guys as far as points per game go, just producing offensively, doing it in every situation. Patrice Bergeron goes out of the lineup, and he really steps up and shows, you know, that he's a great player in his own right, that he's a star player in his own right. It's not just, you know, the duo of him and Patrice Bergeron. They're both extremely special players. And, you know, for somebody to prove that, they have to be able to do it when the other one's missing. And he absolutely did that in the 13 games that Bergeron was out. And the last few years, too, the leadership part of it and the off-the-ice component as well has really shown up more and more. But, yeah, he's exactly, aside from the suspension thing, he is exactly what you want in a player on a good team that's going to need people to step up in big moments. He does it in every situation. And the only thing you can say about Brad Marchand, really, this season is you wish the referees and you wish the officials gave him more of the star treatment on the ice instead of looking the other way when guys were taking liberties with him, because it's been happening to him all year. It's not right. Nobody in the league over the last 3 years has scored more goals than him, except for Alex Ovechkin. He should be treated like that kind of a player, and he's definitely not right now. It's too bad.
Okay, I know you think that Boston matches up well against Tampa Bay. I believe you told us the same about Toronto. You know, Pittsburgh, there's, you know, some challenges there, but if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but I think that you believe that the Bruins are the superior team if they were to match up in the playoffs. I'm looking at, like, Vegas, I still don't believe in them. You know, Winnipeg and Nashville. So when you look at the Bruins and what's left and all these elite teams, if you had to favor one team to win it all, would it be the Bruins?
I'm pot committed at this point for the Bruins to win the Cup, Rich. So everybody else pales in comparison to that. in any matchup that we will see along the way. They do match up extremely well against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've had success with the Penguins in the past, even though, I the road's going to have to go through Pittsburgh to go to the Stanley Cup Final if you're in the East, and I still believe that, even though their regular season has been up and down at points. To be honest with you, I think Toronto is one of the tougher matchups for them, and that as a first round opponent would be challenging and could provide a threat to them, because that's a team you lost 3 out of 4 to this year. The last few years you have not matched up well against them. They beat the three games they beat you this year, Austin Matthews didn't play in, and they still beat you.
Yeah.
And I think the Bruins have difficulty with the smaller, quicker teams, more skilled teams that have guys like Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Nylander, go down the list. And I do think that would be a tough matchup for them in the first round. But, you know, the Toronto defense is not that good. Their goaltending, Frederik Andersen, is good, but not really super proven. And I'm going to have to believe it to see it, that he would step up and, you know, be a key component in a Toronto team that could beat the Bruins in the playoffs. I just think the Bruins have been the best team in the NHL over the last 4 months. As long as they're healthy, I think they are going to be extremely difficult for any team to beat, given how deep they are, given how talented they are. And just, you get that feeling like there's an aura of greatness with this team, Rich. You know, and, yeah, like they're capable of something great this year. All the third period comebacks, all of the things that have worked out for them as far as rookies coming into the lineup, as far as trade deadline and bringing people in, you know, overcoming all the injuries and the adversity that they have both at the beginning and towards the end now of the season. They just keep on winning. The coaching and the intangibles and the leadership. This team, for my money, for a long time now, has been the best team in the NHL, and I think they're going to prove it in the playoffs. I think there's something special with this team, and they're going to show it in the postseason.
Joe, I was reading the old hagbag the other day, and
I've got to get yourself some hagbag.
I do. I always enjoy it. And I was reading a question posed by a reader to you. When the Bruins are healthy, if they're healthy, particularly the forward lines, how would they shape up? You obviously have Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak together, but you mixed and matched quite a bit after that. What was sort of your logic in putting together those other three forward lines?
Yeah, well, I think Ryan Donato, a lot is going to depend, I guess, on how Ryan Donato looks the rest of the season, if you feel like he should be in the lineup to start things off. And obviously started with a bang in the first few games. But if you want that offensive punch, if he's a player that you want to make sure he's in that forward group to start the postseason, he is not going to be a guy you're going to be able to put, you know, in your bottom six. I just think defensively and experience-wise, there's a danger of him getting exposed if he's in one of those positions. So I think you would have to put him with David Krejci on the left side. And if everybody's healthy, that means you're going to have to put Jake DeBrusk somewhere else. And I think the quandary is, it comes down to if you want Danton Heinen and Jake DeBrusk both in the lineup, and Ryan Donato as well, you're going to have to break up the fourth line. And, you know, Tim Schaller, Sean Corrali, Noel Acciari, they've been extremely good all year. They've given them energy. They've given them physicality. They've done everything that Bruce Cassidy's asked of them. I think he's very fond of them as a line because they go out and they provide exactly what you'd want a fourth line energy line to do. But you have so much talent right now. You have so much depth on the wings. You have so many good players you want to get in the lineup. If everybody's healthy, I think, you know, at least one, maybe two of those players aren't going to be able to play. And that provides a problem. You know, you don't want to mess with something that's been successful all year and something that's provided that service on the fourth line. And really, they've gelled together well as a unit. So do you mess with that chemistry in order to get other players in the lineup? Or do you potentially sit a guy like a Danton Heinen, who has struggled a little bit lately, is starting to come out of it, but, you know, hasn't been the player in the second half he was in the first half. And, you know, does that cost him a spot in the lineup to start in the playoffs? And, you know, a guy like Tommy Wingles, a guy like Brian Johnson may not play. You're going to see guys they got at the trade deadline that may not play to start if everybody's healthy. And then on defense, I think it comes down to Brandon Carlo, Nick Holden, or Adam McQuaid. One of those three, you're going to pick to play, and the other two are not going to play. And all three are qualified to play and good enough to be among your top six defensemen. So, you know, Don Sweeney did a really good job of providing the depth at the trade deadline in case of injuries, in case the rookies falter a little bit. But that means you're going to have some really good players not playing to start in the postseason. But there's only so long that's going to be a problem, though, right? Because injuries are going to crop up again, and you're going to be using everybody, I think.
Okay, finally, Hags, we only got about 30 more seconds. But Zdeno Chara, Charlie McAvoy, they've resumed skating. Also, David Backes is apparently working out. He's not that far off, according to reports. What do we know about Rick Nash? When's he coming back?
We don't know. We don't know much about Rick Nash and when he's going to come back. The sense I get from the Bruins is that they're not worried that any of these players aren't going to be ready for the postseason.
Wow. Okay.
It's not Panic City yet, you know. We'll see what actually happens when the postseason starts. We're still eight games away, a few weeks away, and things can change. But as of right now, I don't sense a lot of over-concern that any of these guys are going to miss. But we'll see once we get a little closer. This is long-range forecasting, like trying to predict snowstorms that don't happen. So it's difficult, Rich.
Do you realize, Joe Haggerty, you're committing a sports talk radio sin, and that is you're supposed to say that a team isn't going to win at all, because it's a hell of a lot easier when they end up winning for you to go, oh, I guess I was wrong, because everyone's in a good mood. But if you put your nuts out there and you say that they are going to win it all and then they don't, it's pure wrath, it's pure anger.
It's called the Felger method.
It's the anti, you know, what you're doing, Joe, is the anti-sports talk radio method. I hope you know that hell will come to your doorstep if they do not win it all.
Wouldn't be the first time hell has come to my doorstep. sometimes you got to go against the grain.
Look
right?
at you. You're a renegade. You're a renegade, and I love it.
Hey, I tell you, they came back in that Carolina game. I wrote the column after that. I spent 1,000 words saying the Bruins are going to win the Cup after I saw them score 5 goals and David Pastrnak get a hat trick in the third period to win a game in Carolina. At that point, I said, you know what? This friggin' team is doing things I've never seen before, like on the ice. I've covered hockey for 15 years in the NHL. Like, this team's going to win the Cup. They have that something special.
Well, the listeners keep receipts. Just know that. They're coming for you. It doesn't happen, all right? So we'll make sure to play this interview back just to make them even more angry when it doesn't happen. So
I appreciate that. Up the masses. Get them pissed, Rick.
I will. All right. Maybe you'll be using a commercial, you know, at some point. The anti-Felger commercial. All right. We'll talk to you soon, man. All right?
See you guys.
All right. We got to take these calls. All right. After the headlines. Hub. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. I get fired up, come along. Question, how do I know I'm at a corny party in college? This song is playing.
Yeah, get it started, man. Yeah.
This are like Sublime. Smoke two joints in the morning, smoke two joints at night. It's like, all right, this party's corny. Not that smoking weed is, but if someone had to like brag about it, right, about the music they're playing, like, all right, man. Cool, man.
Let's check out what song's on, man.
Yeah,
you know what? You know what time it is.
Yeah, look at my Blacklight poster. You already knew when you walked in this room. Not only is it a pit of seduction, it's a big old pot den. All right, so Daron Harmon, he was denied entry into Costa Rica. I'm fascinated by the story because Well, first of all, it's dumb that the whole pot thing is illegal and all that. I get it. But this was just stupid of him. So he was denied entry into Costa Rica, sent back to the United States after customs officers found like an ass load of marijuana, 58 grams. And it's inside this can of iced tea. And they open up. There's a picture that they took and they tweeted it out. And it's just a gigantic wad of weed coming out of an Arizona iced tea can.
Yeah, he's got like his, I don't know if it's like his vape pens or whatever they are.
Yeah, he's got like
oils.
These, yeah, he's got like cannabis oil, THC candy, four glass containers that had this compressed marijuana. They weighed 4.3 grams. But I was thinking to myself, I want to know how dumb he was. Because to me, I think it's ridiculously stupid to fly to a different country because they're going to search your bags. There's going to be dogs. But I'm like, but I know nothing about flying with marijuana. And is this something that there's a trick that everyone knows how it's done? It's almost like, you know, these people who get tested for PEDs in baseball. Like, everyone says it's easy to get around.
Yeah, there's all kinds of steps and there's easy ways to, as long as you're not an idiot, you can circumvent the testing. Yeah.
Exactly. So I want to know from people who have done this before, how dumb was Daron Harmon in this? Like, is there a way to do it where you just don't get caught flying with weed?
Because he seems like an idiot to us.
Right.
But we're not exactly Joe the Cokehead from earlier in this show who knows what he's doing.
That guy obviously knows what's going on. Yeah. He's been up for a while. So let's, I threw this out there. Like, how dumb was he? Has anyone ever flown with weed before? And how easy is it to get away with it? And all of a sudden, our phone lines line up. Yep. I mean, it's like our listeners.
Nice.
So let's go with Sean. Sean, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Good. So he's not as dumb as you're making him out to be.
Okay.
The TSA is on record as saying, trying it, not the way he did it.
Okay. What did he do? What did he do wrong?
Well, they say they're not even looking for it. You just got to make sure it's not visible. I mean, it's on their website. They're not looking for marijuana.
It wasn't visible.
They find it.
Well, so Sean, have you ever flown with weed before?
Yeah, and you got to keep it on your carry-on because you have that with you the whole time. You have to go through security once, and then it's on you. His problem is when it's a checked bag, they have it for however long you're on the plane doing whatever they want with it for however long.
Okay, let me go to Rick. Rick, so you said flying with weed is simple. Rick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how?
And in the check bag, too. I mean, if you think about it, you take a deodorant stick, unscrew, brand new deodorant, unscrew it. I'm probably ruining this for everybody that does this.
Pop it under. I'm sure they know.
Yeah, pop it under, screw it back down. I mean, I was a freshman in college. We're talking 14, 15 years ago. Easiest way. I mean, I went to school in the Midwest. The weed was terrible out there.
Okay, so what you would do is you would take the deodorant stick, you would put it in the bottom of it, and screw the top of the deodorant back on. And does that like hide the smell? Is that a foolproof trick? And is that something that's known in the community as the easiest way to get that on a plane?
You know what? As far as the community goes, I'm not sure if it's well known. That was my trick.
Okay.
Without naming brands, it was a blue stick, and it was the value. It was the extra large.
Okay.
So, okay.
Once again, I'm not recommending anyone do this. I just want to know for people who do this, how dumb Daron Harmon's method was. Like, because the can
He had too much weed for deodorant stick.
I guess so. But what also people don't understand is that when you go through customs, like, even if you have a carry-on, you have to go in this room where they scan it again when you come into the country. So you get it scanned when you go through, you know, just like you normally do when you go to Logan or whatever and you have a carry-on and they go through the x-rays. But then they scan it one more time, unlike when you're just flying to, you know, someplace
Detroit.
In Detroit. If you're in Costa Rica or a country and you have to use your passport, they will scan it once again. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
All right, no carry-ons, none of that stuff. You're going to get searched.
Okay. All right.
So me and my buddy went to Europe, and I have a beard, so I don't screw around at the airport, first of all. But he had almost an ounce of weed, and what he did was he, like, triple-bagged it, and then he, like, caked it, almost like a frosting on a cake with toothpaste.
Okay.
And bagged that up and then caked it again and then taped it right under, I don't know if I can say this, his grundle.
Sure.
So duct taped it right underneath his grundle, so the only way he's getting caught is if he's strip searched. So none of that bags and all that stuff.
So I'm sorry. One time, he put it in the bag, put toothpaste all around it, and then taped it.
Seems unnecessary.
The bag and toothpaste. So I'm like a mint toothpaste, because the mint overpowers the
a smell.
The weed smell.
Dude, you really got to want to smoke weed to do that to yourself, to have to sit on a toothpaste-covered bag of weed throughout your entire flight to Europe?
Head bag, so the toothpaste's not getting everywhere, you know what I mean?
Okay, so the toothpaste is in there. It still doesn't matter. You have a giant lump that you have to sit on.
Well, yeah, that was his problem, not mine.
It's an eight-hour flight to Europe.
Well, it was a 4-hour.
Are you smoking his weed that's been underneath his grundle?
I was just going to wear the nut weed there. That's what you're smoking now.
I made sure it was wrapped enough when toothpaste came out. Nothing was going on.
I don't. There's nothing I would want to do that would make me want to ingest something that was underneath my friend's crotch for 8 hours
for an ounce. He had 53 ounces.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For 1 ounce. All right. Let's go to. Anthony, how badly did Daron Harmon mess this up?
Hey, I got to give Mark the last call. You got to minus the toothpaste. There's no need for the toothpaste. On the way to Miami for the 07 Patriots game, and literally, you just grind it up as fine as you can get, roll it into a bunch of baggies, and he's right, stick it under your grundle. You don't even got to tape it. You just put it in your boxer liner, and they're not going to search you unless you've got a reason to get searched.
But okay, so I know that they have those, there's two different ones, gates you can go through when you go through security. There's the one that beeps, kind of like, you know, the normal metal detector.
And then like
there's
the one where
you gotta, you got to put your hands over your head and do that. Like,
another thing, you fly out of an airport that's not as high security, like Manchester, New Hampshire.
This is for an ounce of weed? Like, you would choose, like, a different airport just for an ounce of weed.
Those
you
know, hicks in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Yeah, right. Love that.
Sure.
All right, let me go to David.
What is this strange package you have?
God, you guys go through the so much for like the tiniest amount of weed. David, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
So a couple years ago, I had a trip to California.
Mm-hmm.
So I find a guy who jumped up the car with this like pound of weed. I said, dude, yeah, I'll give you $200. And he gives me about an ounce. And it's the night before I have to fly back to Boston. So we get to the airport, you know, the rental car terminal. So I open the lock.
I was enjoying his story up to that point. All right. So needless to say, I don't know how you get away with, like, how do you hide 58 grams of weed? Like, I mean, people are saying an ounce and I'll stick it under my crotch and I'll put toothpaste on it.
See, I got that wrong earlier, by the way. I said, so he had grams. This guy was talking about an ounce of weed. So that may be more than I thought. Okay. I'm not too good in my...
58 grand. Well, okay, put it this way. The bag he had, it's not fitting under your crotch.
No.
It's like sitting on a football.
I mean, not mine.
I mean, not mine as well. You know, some of us were cursed when we were born. But we will get to... We'll take a few more of these calls. But I mean... My God, I just find it so great that the second we just say, hey, did he do it all right?
I just love... I love, by the way... Like, this is what you're saying. Like, oh, yeah, well, you know, weed, man, you know, it's not that addictive. And, you know, it's not that bad of a thing. Don't worry about it. We got people driving all the way to New Hampshire and sneaking things in, right. You know, under their crotch.
Right.
Like just the lengths you'll go to.
Yeah. And sit on like a big toothpaste covered sack of weed for 8 hours on a plane to Europe. That's got to be nice. That's got to taste real good when you're finally decide to smoke that. All right, we'll take a 617-779-0985.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. All right, we'll wrap this up. We were talking about Daron Harmon, who got busted over the weekend going to Costa Rica. And when they checked his bag, he had a bunch of weed in there with 58 grams, which, by the way, people were talking about taping, like, who attempted to fly with weed, like taping a gram to themselves, or a gram, I'm sorry, an ounce, and people are saying, you guys are flipping out on the amount of this. 58 grams is essentially just 2 ounces of weed. But I mean, when you look at it, it's huge. So
yeah, I realize I have no concept of ounces versus grams versus anything else.
Once again, everyone I know smokes weed. I just don't do it because I was always afraid I was going to lose my job. And then by the time I got like a regular job, I got a family and all this stuff. I mean, listen, when it becomes like perfectly legal here and there's one time where I have a weekend to myself and I know I've got no problem with people who do it, none whatsoever.
Pull down the curtains.
But as far as the amounts and stuff like that, I got no idea.
Turn on the lava lamp.
But this has become that guy's an idiot Olympics. Everyone who's called in and said, hey, that guy just told you how to do it. That guy's an idiot. I know how to do it. So I just want to know how dumb Daron Harmon was. Like, was there a way that he was trying to do it that everyone who's ever done it before? And once again, I'm not encouraging anyone to do this, but I just, how ridiculously bad did he mess up? First of all, I would never fly internationally, much less from state to state, with anything in my bag that I know that could get me in trouble. I know those people don't mess around, especially in certain cities, but my God, when they opened up that suitcase and you just saw a giant pile of it, I'm like, how dumb can you be? But I want to know, is there an extra level of that where there it was a simple way to not get noticed? Let's go to Sean. All right, Sean, what do you got, man?
All right, so I was flying home from Vegas about 3 months ago, and the place where we actually got our weed, they give you these like smell-proof like Ziploc baggies. So I had like a pre-rolled joint and this like weed like chocolate bar. So I took three pieces of that chocolate, I put it like in my checked bag, and I got through security. And as soon as I got through, they're saying that my flight was delayed about like an hour and a half. So I'm literally crapping my pants. Like in the airport saying like, oh my God, they found it. They found it. Like, oh my God. Turns out they didn't find it. And I flew home and everything was intact.
Okay. So you just were paranoid for hours at the airport.
I was in the airport for a solid 6.5 hours. Waiting for a call from that courtesy phone saying that I had to.
Was it worth it? Like, that's the thing. It's like all of this time, all the effort that people go through. Like, one guy sent me like 15 steps to go through. Well, you have to air seal it, and then you have to do the. Like, is it really worth it to
drive
do that
to
once,
New Hampshire.
Once you get to where you are?
Well, like the previous caller just said, the TSA is not really looking for it. If they do, I mean, they're not going to actually, you know, like arrest you. That's what the police are there for. So they don't want to go through like all the hassle for one pre-roll joint and six pieces of chocolate.
Okay, but you're saying that domestically, right? Like, what about internationally when you're flying into another country like Costa Rica? Like, I feel like that's where part of his plan backfired.
Oh, screw that. He's an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, that was weird.
Right? Like I do wonder how many people are telling us, oh, yeah, I do it all the time, and you're flying, like we said earlier, like to Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little different when you're flying into a whole other country.
Right, and then you have to get a check when you go through customs. I just think it's obviously dumb. It's a dumb thing, and now it stinks because, you know my opinion on the legalization of it and everything. I think it should be no big deal, but the way that the NFL looks at this, now he's going to have to go into one of those drug programs and all of that. It's just, what a pain in the ass. He's probably going to get suspended.
Duran, you should have just driven to Manchester.
That's right, according to one of our listeners.
What are you doing?
According to one of our listeners. All right, 617-779-0985. All right, I'm way more interested in this story than I should be. And we talked a little bit about this off the air, and I'm kind of, Wallach, I think, has lost his mind. There is a certain player, an all-world player, that is very unhappy where he is. And whenever that happens, people start rubbing their hands and going, we get on the Patriots. Wallach wants none of it. And finally, we had the owner of the team comment on it. And maybe it's more of a reality than we think it might be. We will get to that. Possibly a new toy for Tom Brady.